from the heart of Dubai, where tomorrow is being built today to the world. Welcome to the CTO Show with Mehmet. Here, we redefine technology and reimagine possibilities. With Mehmet, delve into the riveting realms of AI, cybersecurity, and digital technology. Experience the thrilling highs and lows of startups. Immerse yourself in the spirit of entrepreneurship and witness the future of business innovation being written in real time. Now, without further ado, let's tune in and explore the future.
Hello and welcome back to a new episode of the CTO Show with Mehmet. Today, I'm very pleased welcoming with me, joining me from Texas, the US, Kofi. Kofi, the way I love to do it is I keep it to my guests to introduce themselves because I have a theory. No one can introduce someone else better than themselves. So the floor is yours. Tell us a little bit about you and what you do currently.
Yes, Mehmet, it's a pleasure to be here. Glad to have this conversation. As you mentioned, my name is G. Kofi Annan. I'm a brand strategist and technologist. And what does that mean? Essentially, I work with companies, you know, some large companies like Puma and Pfizer, which have been my clients in the past, and some emerging companies, which is where I spend a lot of my time now. And I help them really increase their visibility within certain markets, whether it be a new or a existing market. I also help them increase their engagement. So just because you're visible and people know of you doesn't necessarily mean that they're engaging you in a meaningful way. So I help them increase that engagement with the right people. And then ultimately, particularly for the businesses and the clients that I work with, it's about generating that revenue, that feedback around, you know, how are you able to grow your business? And so it's really about the visibility, the engagement, and the revenue for me. And really, through my years, I've been doing this for about 15, 20 years. You know, I've seen in many multiple industries in different, both domestic in the US, but then in international markets. And it's really, I've seen some really good ways and approaches to increase that visibility, engagement, and revenue, depending on the dynamics of the market. And we know the market these days, are changing so rapidly. So, you know, the being able to grow a brand is really where I come in. And having that impact in the society and the market that you're that you and your business are looking to have.
Great, and thank you again, Kofi, for being on the show today. Now, maybe it's a little bit traditional question, but I like to ask also my guests, like, what, you know, made you be interested in this domain? Because, you know, branding, and we'll talk like shortly about it in detail, especially because, you know, we cover about tech and startups. So what attracted you to be in this field? And, you know, maybe if you can tell us also, like, what was the most, I would say, attractive thing that you said, okay, I know that I need to be in this field.
Sure. So, you know, I always look at things as seasons and adaptation and evolutions, right? I love this question because this is the same question, that kind of question that I ask my clients. You know, why are you here? What brought you here? And there's a lot of nuggets in there. For me, I grew up in Ghana, West Africa. For the first 5 years of my life, I moved to Liberia, where I spent another 5 or 6 years before moving to the US with my family. So I've seen different interactions between businesses. My father was in business. My mother had always had a business at home. She was a seamstress for a good part of our early lives. So just kind of seeing them build out different businesses and interacting with different markets and different customer bases, that's, you know, in the back of my mind, that's where I got my exposure to business. Now, the role that I'm playing in business? Well, initially I thought it was, you know, I was a creative person. I like to tell stories and such. So I was attracted to that. But as I grew up and I started telling more stories in different ways, I even had a business myself called Anansi Clothing Company, which was really popular some years ago. I realized that a business is a product, which is where most people focus. And really, the storytelling aspect and the connection aspect, which I love, I figured out that's my superpower, right? Like I love connecting people. I love people helping people tell stories. I love helping people make sense of of the interactions that they're having with their customers or their teams. And I found out that I was good at it. You know, I would say the main point I could point, pinpoint where I really pivoted was when I was working at Saatchi & Saatchi some years ago. And I was actually in development. So I was managing a web development team there. You know, this early days of kind of web development and such. And I had happened across it because, again, I was looking at vehicles to tell stories and I learned web development, long story. But either way, but being in a creative environment like Saatchi & Saatchi, which is a huge global advertising agency, I got a chance to see a lot of the different positions, you know, on the creatives, which most people know about, the development, obviously I was managing that team, production, strategists, you know. And, you know, once I was doing that, I realized that I'm not a great developer. I'm not a great designer. I know enough about business. That's all good. But really, again, my superpower was in that those connections. And ultimately, I made that pivot professionally to start not just manage the development team, but start having those conversations with clients about what is the value of web and, you know, web as a communication tool, and how Saatchi and me and my team are able to use that to help them accelerate their business. And I love that experience, being in there with those clients, hearing their pain points, helping them solve those problems. And luckily I was in that environment where, you know, there was a name for it. It was called a strategist, which even to this day, my mother still doesn't know what that means. And I think most people don't know what that means. But yeah, that's when I realized that I loved having those conversations and helping businesses in that way. So yes, ultimately, and I've been doing that for about 10, 15 years solid, just specifically as a strategist. And yeah, I'm bridging those gaps.
Great. I love also like seeing people like yourself, Kofi, like who are not only doing great job, but they do it in a passionate way, which I can feel it even miles away. Now, I want to a little bit focus on the branding part, right? Do you think that it's something that businesses usually, they don't give it enough care, I would say, to, because it's part of the marketing, correct me if I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. It's part of a bigger strategy, of course. But sometimes we see people still stuck in old-fashioned techniques. So I want you to highlight to us why branding is important and how really it can shift the position of a business.
Sure, sure. Yeah, this I would say that, you know, there's kind of two sets of frame of mind. People who are not in my space, there's kind of two frames of minds, right? So there's the old school, right, or traditional way of thinking about branding, which is someone who says, I need a logo, I need colors, you know, so that's a creative end, right? You know, logo, a brand is a logo and colors, right? Once I have that, which, you know, if you're a tech startup, especially, or you're in tech specifically, and, you know, you're more product and product focused, you think that that's all you need, a logo. And you can get tools these days that can generate any of those, right? So that's kind of the traditional way. There are other people who, you know, I guess where I try to move others who understand that a brand is more than that. A brand is a representation of the product, the values, the stories, the, you know, essentially of their company and what their company is bringing to market. They understand that. However, they realize that there's value in that, but it's a crowded market, right? So there's kind of two sets of people that I normally deal with, and both of them have different perspectives on brand. They see value, the first group, not as much in the sense of they really think it's commoditized. The second group, they see the kind of more holistic value, but again, you know, really prioritizing, depending on the kind of product and kind of industry you're in, particularly in B2B industries, prioritizing that sometimes, you know, mentally they can't really make the connection. And how I, you know, my, how I talk to both of those people, the first group who think that it's colors and a logo, I say, yes, it is. But really, colors and logos don't make a product, right? And really, the product is really about the product, the colors and the logos, and why you, the question that you asked me, Mehmet, in the beginning, you know, why you even for investors, that's all part of the brand. That's all part of the story that you're telling. You need to tell a story about why someone should have a relationship or engage with you and your product and your business. And this, with the second group, it is about the crowded market. And really, I help them really narrow down, okay, what is the differentiator that I have? Because they're further along in that understanding of sophistication. What is the secret sauce? And not necessarily from a product perspective, it could be part of the product, but you know, who were the founders? Why did they do this? You know, this, I told you the story about me growing up in Ghana and Liberia, like, you know, all those things that we take for granted as founders and owners, bringing that forth to make that emotional connection to specific markets and specific audiences, right? And that's where you start. And then right. From there, it just goes on. And that's all part of being building a brand.
Absolutely. Now, Kofi, one thing which when I was preparing and, you know, we had a little bit of chat before, and because you work with international customers, so one thing usually which when I talk myself to startup founders, right? So of course, there are like the early days, you know, everything. But then at some stage, they need to start scale. And one part of the scaling strategy is to go after global markets. So if they are based in the US, they would go to Europe, they would go to Asia, and vice versa, right? Now, in your work across different cultures and market, how do you approach, you know, the concept of understanding and leveraging that there are some cultural nuances, let's call them, or differences, and how you advise your clients usually to take care of these cultural differences to have successful new market entries?
A lot of my clients, whether they're thinking about it now, or, you know, yeah, they've kind of reached a certain level of momentum and scale, and they've maybe, you know, grown bigger than their current market. They do start have thinking through that. And I'll talk about two different kinds of clients in that regard. So some years ago, in 2010 specifically, for the 2010 World Cup, Puma, the athletic company, was looking to, you know, be part of the World Cup, right? You know, advertise, market, X, Y, and Z. It's a huge platform, you know, athletics, you know, makes sense. They didn't have the budget as Nike, who was the official sponsor. You know, we complain about budget, but even sometimes Puma doesn't have enough budget. They didn't have the big budget, but they were looking to make an impact, right? A lot of eyes were going to be on the World Cup. Where I came in, and me and my team, we came in to say, okay, what is the key differentiator for Puma? What area can we carve out? Within that context, we looked at, okay, what is the context of World Cup? And in that year, that was the first year that the World Cup was happening in Africa, right? Or South Africa specifically. And we found, you know, having conversations with Puma, we found that Puma has a legacy, had traditionally always sponsored African teams in other World Cups. So that's a gem, that's an insight that we could go with. So how do we make it relevant in the current day, and how we look at the cultural aspect? In that case, we started having conversations with people who represented the audience of that World Cup, you know, the modern African, you know, international person, you know, again, to capitalize both on the connection with Africa and African, but then also help that to propel the message. And yeah, so we dove deep, we did some ethnographies, which is, you know, essentially following people around. And this is, you know, 2009, 2010. So we didn't have too much of social media there, you know, not too much of context online, particularly in the African market. So a lot of that were kind of going visit people in their homes, asking them questions. Again, I'm trying to tease out those cultural nuances that get past our individual biases. Even me as an African, you know, my location being in the US, there's certain assumptions I have about, you know, what makes sense and what attracts someone who lives in Africa, in different parts of Africa. So we did ethnographies, we visited, you know, different cultural hubs. So whether it be technology hubs or athletic hubs, and kind of, we talked to people online. So again, just kind of teasing out those nuances. Why do they do the things they do? And then obviously, once we gathered that research, then we brought it back and say, okay, so now what does that mean for Puma? How do we make the two how do we make that relevant for the marketing and the messaging? And that's different structures and processes that we go through there. The more recent one that I had was a South Korean textiles company, a SaaS company, which leverages this South Korean textile market and essentially digitize it, bring it to the global market. And they wanted to enter the US market, right? So it's kind of like in that kind of reverse. And with them, and this was last year, I think it was when we, well, I've been working with them for a few years, but you know, one of the key things there was the differences culturally, and they're a startup, so they got some funding and such, but the cultural difference in assumptions between the South Korean market and, in this case, the US fashion B2B market, right? Big, you would assume that they're similar, they're both kind of textiles and such, you know, same industry. But when we engaged and we started having conversations with their current customers, right? Okay, who are your current customers? Why do they use your brand X, Y, and Z? And then also started having conversations with their future customers in the US, from a role and responsibility perspective, same customer, but in the US, we found that there was a nuance in the difference, right? South Korean customers were very practical in their engagements with this textile manufacturer, very kind of, this is what we want. You know, it was pretty straightforward. Whereas with a US based customer base, and they were more invested in stories, particularly again, fashion textiles. They were really a lot of more creative people, a lot of more storytelling people who really value creatives, right? A lot more than, you know, other markets. So that was the gap that we saw, where the company was used to having kind of the more practical and product based conversations within the Asian market, but then we had to change that and elevate that within the U.S. market, because again, storytelling and nuances around relationships over time was a lot more prominent, particularly visual storytelling. So yeah, so those are the kind of two different ways where, you know, regardless of the budget, it is very important to understand that, you know, markets, different international markets change, but I would even argue that with the acceleration of technology, local markets change as well, and they change really quickly. I think that's where a lot of my clients are struggling to really make that connection, and that's where I usually help them.
That's a great use case, I would say, Kofi. Now, we are living in technology, fast changing technology phase, but at the same time, you know, even in the branding, and you mentioned this a couple of minutes ago, you need to keep the storytelling, which is something which is, you know, personal, right? So it's something that comes from us. So how do you leverage the technology to keep the authenticity, I would say, of the story that company, whether it's a startup or a full-fledged business, they want to convey without, you know, losing this, you know, oh, okay, these guys, look, they are look very, very authentic, right? But at the same time, you need to use technology, and you don't need to be as a customer to feel, oh, it looks like it made up, right? It's mm-hmm. not convincing. So what is, I would say, the secret sauce for a proper technology adoption when it comes to branding and, you know, utilizing the storytelling?
Yes. Stories are about people, right? And people and their experiences, right? And, you know, particularly in the business aspect, it's about the people behind the company, in and around the company. Why they started, you know, what they're trying to do, what is the value of their products, you know, all those kinds of things. How, you know, why them? A lot of this, particularly for tech founders and companies that are growing, a lot of the conversations they're having with the investors, right? You know, it's kind of funny when we're talking about investors, people, you know, think of a different way, and they try to kind of tell that story through not just the product features and function, but when it comes to audiences or customers, sometimes we miss the mark there. That storytelling is very important. And, you know, I always, one exercise that I give a lot of my clients when they're struggling to figure out, storytelling, you know, I'm not Disney, right? You know, I'm selling a product that's a textile, you know, ordering system, right? It's pretty, you know, in their mind, kind of I'm straightforward. But again, at the end of the day, you're talking, those buyers, those customers are people who want to feel close to, especially in this day and age, they want to feel close. They want to identify, self-identify with whatever choice that they're making as far as a product. And they have, I mean, let's not get it confused. These days, there are more than enough choices for any kind of product or service, right? Everyone with the advent of technology and connection of social media and such, everyone has more than enough choices. Well, most people have more than enough choices, even if their choices are less than others. So why, again, why you? So that's where the personal connection and how you're telling that personal story comes in. And it doesn't necessarily have to be the founder-led and, you know, kind of all those kinds of things. But sometimes it's about, you know, what is the problem that customer is trying to solve in their business, right? Sometimes it's not just a, I want to do my taxes. So if you think of accounting software, I want to do my taxes. Sure, I could find something to do my taxes. But it's, I want to do my taxes with ease, and I want to do it with somebody who that I trust based on, you know, the fact that my company is it's a law firm, right? So it's those, again, those nuances that diving deep into that customer or that user makeup. Why are they using, who are they, and what is the real problem? What are their thoughts? What are their fears? You know, why, you know, and those are all the things that folks won't necessarily tell you. It's not really evident, but with the technology that we have and the access that we have, we can go on social media and all the forums. We have a number of Reddits. We can definitely start to dive deep into not just the functional value of products that somebody wants to buy, but the emotional and the connectivity that they're looking for. And then we weave the story from there. And a lot of times it's just listening. You know, when we're business owners and we're close to the product and we're really trying to grow our business or bring it to a new market, we become very focused on, you know, the here now, what we want to do. But it's what that focus is good for executing. But when it comes down to transforming or evolving or revolutionizing, or it's about listening. It's about listening to the people that, and what people are telling you, what they're telling, the conversation they're telling each other. I'm working with a waste management company right now, where that's the exercise we're going to. We're essentially just we've spent a little bit of time just going through different forums and just like listening to what people are talking about. What is the gap that they're seeing in the current products? Why are they doing? What is their day-to-day like? Those kinds of things. And that's, you know, not everybody geeks out on it like me. And that's kind of, again, where my superpower is, because I geek out on that, and not just hearing people's stories, but then also taking those stories and transforming them into something that a business could then use as a platform to connect with that customer. So it is really about those stories, and it's about connection.
Absolutely. To the point of connections, Kofi, now, I know that you mentioned this, to me before, and this is the main goal of creating, you know, this branding and storytelling, is to build the connection with customers and have, you know, what is known as customer experience. Now, to me, you know, in any business, whether it's small or big, to me, you know, all what we do is to serve the customer, because whatever product, service we are offering, so this is to solve a problem to my customer, right? Now, to nurture this, and I know you like this topic, and it's related to technology, you need to have enough insights from data perspective. You need to leverage maybe some additional technologies, maybe to automate few things, right? So I wanted to explain how, you know, I can measure, you know, what I aim to do was achieved using data, and how also I can automate part of this branding journey down the road. Especially, you know, in startup mode, you have limited resources. You need to rely on multiple you know, you're doing multiple things. You cannot get a lot of stuff with you. So you need to do a lot of handy things. So how they can leverage also like automation to you know, reach the ultimate goal that they want to.
Sure. So I'll, yes, for within that context, so we have a process that we work in, and I've been doing this for many, many years, and I've kind of teased out the key areas that help branding or brand development efforts go faster and become smarter. And that's, you know, what we talked about before, which is the values of the company and the storytelling, the experience. And then also that last part is that impact. And I think that's where a lot of tech focused brands kind of start with the impact, you know, the actual numbers. To that point, there are two key numbers that I associate with branding that branding can affect. And they're kind of metrics that lead up to that. But the two primary KPIs that I think would resonate with a lot of tech founders specifically are customer acquisition costs, right? What is it costing you to get a customer? And customer lifetime value, right? How much is that customer worth over time, right? And I think a lot of tech founders could really understand those two key KPIs, right? And how does branding relate to that? Well, let's talk about customer acquisition costs. Well, if you're a startup, you know, whether you have funding or not, or you're self-funded, or you have some momentum, you're probably trying to reduce that customer acquisition costs, right? You don't want to spend as much money on ads, especially, which is where a lot of people just kind of start going straight for advertising. And, you know, having been in the ad agency, business for a while previously, I could say that there's a place for that, but ads are not going to solve your problems, right? Alone, right? Or they do other things that they hear in the market, which is like, you know, just do social media, right? But they don't really see the conversion rates. They don't really see the customer acquisition costs go down. One of the things that I'll say from a brand perspective is that if you're not seeing that customer acquisition costs go down slowly, that means that there is people don't really understand the value, not of your product, but from a brand perspective. Why you? Why? What is the value? Do you share my value? Do you make my life easier? Like all that storytelling is really not coming through. Certainly not for the customers that you have direct access to, but even for them, for their ability to amplify your the relationship you have with them and the successes you have with them to their network, right? And that's what you want, right? So you want that amplification beyond just the one-to-one. And that helps reduce your customer acquisition costs because, you know, essentially people are getting customers for you. So that's where brand comes in, right? I want to be able to tell people. So in the case of my company, I have my company name is the Brand Sensei. Okay, the Brand Sensei does X, Y, and Z, you know, and through those stories, how your customers are telling their friends and their family and their colleagues, the stories that you've enabled them to tell those people, helps bring those people into the fold, and obviously reduces your customer acquisition costs, right? So that's where stories can help propel some of those kind of things. Give them a short snippet of a way to tell the story, and then of course onboard, you know, those customers. So again, that's the kind of mechanics of how branding can factor in. And you do have to understand those people, how those people, and then obviously customer lifetime value is that experience. How are you reinforcing the you know, when they reach out to customer service, like how are you interacting with them? How are you giving them opportunities to reach out? You know, all those kind of mechanics. And that's all feeds into your brand as well. You know, I know that I could expect fast delivery from Amazon. And, you know, I know that which happened just the other day, my delivery, I don't know where it ended up. And, you know, as a matter of fact, I'm not going to go find it. I tell Amazon, I just want to order another one quickly. They don't even ask me too many questions because I'm a longtime customer, and they just, you know, kind of avoid that transaction and allow me to buy something again. That adds to the Amazon brand, right? So right. Over time, I'm spending more time on Amazon because of that experience and that I associate with the brand, that feeling of ease of access and convenience.
Absolutely. And I love this example, actually, Kofi, like, you know, this is what I, you know, to, and this is, you know, for people, just to remind them, when you started the conversation and you talk, it's not about the logo and, you know, that these are important things, but, you know, this user experience, what, you know, bring you more business to your point, because people recommend good services, products to other people. And I liked when you say it's not like about the ads, social media, all this, right? So, of course, you can create some kind of buzz over there, but buzz is not branding, right?
No,
so,
it is not.
So, yeah, unfortunately, you know, in especially in the tech domain, what I see happening is one startup or established business, they come up with a nice theme, let's call it. And then we start to see everyone following the same thing, almost copy-pasting the full story. And I liked when you say, Kofi, like, okay, why you? Because there are 10 companies that they claim they do the same thing. How are you going to differentiate yourself? And I think this is where, you know, this branding, not only from marketing, I would say, copywriting and, you know, social media ad plays a role, is how you convey us. And honestly, I'm very biased by the way, you know, like Apple used to do on at the time of Steve Jobs, how they used to do this storytelling thing. And, you know, when Steve Jobs asked, like, what we want people to think when they think about the brand Apple, right? So, you know, he wanted people to see things different way. And think in a different way. It's not like about just a piece of hardware. And, you know, I love these, you know, stories so much. Although I am not by any means a marketing guru, or, you know, I just love to see what succeeds. I love to try many things. And what you just said, Kofi, you know, really proved me right, which is which is a good thing. Now, one thing I want to ask you, and, you know, again, like during the preparation, we discussed this. So AI, right? So, and you mentioned a little bit at the beginning as well. So how do you think AI can help startups and even scale-ups to get their level up and to be able to compete with the larger corporation when it comes to branding?
You hit the nail on the head, Mehmet, in the sense that it is about competing with the larger players. You know, as a startup or a new entrant into even a new market. So you've been talking about the textile startup that I was working with, entering a new market. No one knows you, right? And you want them to know you, and you want them to trust you. You want to have that credibility. You want them to use your product, but you don't have the budget, right? Like you don't have the endless budget. You don't have time, right? Even if you do have the budget, you know, your talent and resources might be limited. So you're trying to do a lot more with less. And, you know, and in that regard, AI is a great enabler. Now, is AI going to solve your problems? No, it isn't. And I always use this term, and it's a term that I think a lot of tech startups and, you know, people in data analytics will specifically resonate with them, which is garbage in, garbage out, right? So, or in American layman's terms, you know, putting lipstick on a pig. So any of those analogies, right? Which is to say that if the core of what you're doing and who you are is not together, and you don't have the right platform, and you don't have the right processes, AI is only going to amplify what you already have, right? So it's going to make, and in a lot of times, it's going to make it faster, and it's going to have a bigger impact, negative impact on your business. Google, for instance, is going through a little bit of that. I posted something on my LinkedIn about, you know, their entrance into AI and AI models, where they've been releasing, I mean, if you've been following that space, they've been releasing seemingly a new AI model or upgrade or product like almost every other week. And even internally in their company, they can't even keep track, right? And Google has endless budget. We understand that, but they can't get it together. Ultimately, for me, that means that internally, they don't have the right processes. They don't have the right frameworks. They're not having the right conversations internally, and they don't understand externally their the right markets. Do they need to be a generalist AI company? Who knows? But again, so, and they have the tools. So going back to what you're saying from a scale up, a startup, a scale up, AI is only going to amplify what you have. And you know, the good thing about it is that you can have what you need faster. And what I mean by that is that interviewing your customers, or even understanding your brand value, or understanding your customer acquisition costs, or even getting the right content to market for your audience to convert our audiences. AI is great at enabling all of that. But again, you have to have the right process. You have to have the right frame of mind. And that's kind of, you know, where within the space that we work in, that's where our process comes in, where, you know, we're able to inject our process into the companies that we work with and help them build out the platforms, the strength of those platforms between the values, the experience, the stories, and even the data gathering and data analysis. We're able to inject that framework into their business and help, with the help of a tool like AI, it accelerates things that much faster. So, you know, the value of AI really as a tool is in the process that you have, the stringent process that you have in different parts of your area of that you're focusing on. And then AI accelerates that. Unfortunately, we're going through a state now where if you've been around long enough, you remember when, you know, the dot-com days, or when everybody was creating a website and, you know, you had so many really bad websites being popped out. So it's the hype cycle, right? And if you know the adoption cycle, that's kind of what happens, the hype cycle. And I think in 2024, some of that hype around AI is going to recede, where people are going to start seeing the value of AI, where AI does work. And that is in accelerating the things, the strength of what you already have and what you've already built internally and the relationships that you already have. AI is not going to replace that. AI is not going to pull it out of thin air. AI has to work from something, and that something requires humans to figure it out.
Absolutely. And this term, we brought it also on the show with the guest that I interviewed on many occasions, especially when you said junk in, junk out. So if you feed AI with junk, it will give you junk. This is the, you know, well-known fact. Problem, I think it's human behavior, Kofi, because let's be honest with ourselves. So we are lazy by nature, right? So we like to find shortcuts. And I think AI gave everybody, because everyone can have access to these AI tools, gave us access to generate content, to generate graphics, and the example of Google, you know, what's happening with them, and, you know, now generating videos. But again, to your point, the human touch is always key there, because, and, you know, I shared also something 2 weeks back. Now, by the time this goes out, to be like almost 1 month, you know, I said something and I shared on LinkedIn. I said, like, no time before, the storytelling became something very crucial for especially startups, because if you cannot tell your story, and because, you know, you will use AI, of course, but if you don't mention, you know, the story in a way which can capture your audience, the AI will not be able to do that for you, because the AI uses what information is available to it, right? So this becomes like really key there. But are you seeing, Kofi, like, now let me reverse this question, and it's like maybe a kind of contradictory question to what I just asked you. Someone might argue, okay, because these big guys, they have the access, they have the budget, they're going to leverage AI, and actually they're going to go and crush every single startup that would try to appeal. Do you have concerns about that? And if so, as a small business owner or an entrepreneur, how should I protect myself from, as we call them, the tech giants?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so if you're talking about IP, intellectual property, and kind of from a product perspective, I think a lot of your you know, that's a different conversation that I think you know, people, the kind of lawyers and such could probably help with. But when if you're talking about from market share and brand awareness and, you know, adopting customers, what I would say is that the reverse is actually true. In my experience, customer bases, markets, audiences, people are becoming more and more, people want a lot more connections with things that are not a great faceless behemoth, right? There are more nuances to human behavior and cultural, different cultures and different locales than I would argue that Google, Microsoft, Amazon could ever capture in with any amount of money. And you can see a lot of that, Mehmet, you're in Dubai. As you look international, you'll see that a lot of the large companies with the endless budget that we see in the US especially, that we take for granted, they don't have the impact in other markets that they have in the US. And that's an example of the fact that there is essentially enough to go around from a market share perspective, if you're talking to the right person. People's behaviors and expectations are changing really rapidly. And you look at the different generations, the specific environmental effects. If you start diving into the nuances of what the audience is, whether it be an audience, a customer base in Singapore, that's in the outskirts of the city, or, you know, someone somewhere in Ghana that is in Accra, you know, like you could slice it so many different ways. And each one of these audiences have nuances that in my opinion, any company will have to be choiceful about servicing. So that's an opportunity for startups and scale-ups, right? A lot of startups and scale-ups start with, you know, I want to go for a broad market with, you know, they start from a product's perspective. So I'll take a accounting software or even textiles, right? You know, I want a B2B audience that fashion designers that, for in the case of one of my clients, fashion designers in the US that wants to source fabric and textiles for their clothing lines. Super broad. I mean, that's so many different people, right? But when you start diving into the nuances of those audiences and those customer bases, you start seeing that there's a difference between an indie designer and a global, you know, a Prada or Gucci, which I've worked with as well, right? Their processes, what they're trying to do, X, Y, and Z. So that's different. You even have some of the up and coming, you know, kind of streetwear brands, for instance, that have a lot of money, have a lot of investments. And again, so there are nuances there that a startup can carve out for themselves. And really, it's usually an unserved market because those big companies are going broad. There's an unserved market, an untapped market within there's an untapped submarket within those markets that can be a great foothold if a startup is able to reach those customers and build relationships with them. They're more likely, again, with some of the tools that we would be able to give those audiences as far as branding, the stories, and how do you, you know, customer experience and the data, they then become the majority within, because again, a lot of those audiences become the majority audience over time. So being small, and yes, Google is going to look for everyone, right? But the value of a startup and where a startup really needs to has a competitive advantage is being to be laser focused on that one audience, nurturing them, and then also allowing them to expand and grow and tell their people. And the startup obviously grows with them. So it's actually a good thing. Let Google go for everybody in the world. I mean, they seed the market for a lot of us anyway, but they can't serve the market. So they seed the market, but they can't serve the market. So by the time we come in and we have a product that meets needs and is more customized, a tech startup will be able to accelerate.
Absolutely, Kofi. And actually, this time you hit the nail on the head by when you mentioned relationship, because this is part of, again, you gave the example of Amazon like a few minutes back and about, you know, how the customer, you know, care experience that they gave you you know, it was there. So this relationship, I think this is the underrated part. And this is where the startups and scale-ups, they should focus on. Like, always make your customer happy and let them feel that really you care about them. It's not like just, you know, a banner behind your office, or it's something on your website. Hey, we love our customers. Okay. Yeah, everyone says that, right? So how really you love your customers and you care about them? And this is the personal touch plus relationship. So absolutely, Kofi. Now, as we're almost coming to an end, it's a very fast changing world today, Kofi. And if you want to leave the audience today with a piece of advice, whether they are entrepreneurs or they are into the marketing game, so how, you know, what kind of advice you would give them with as final words from you?
Yeah, I would say that you have a competitive advantage already. It's hidden in your business. It's probably not your product. So you have a competitive advantage. It's the people, it's the processes, it's experiences of the people that you're bringing into your company. It's the why you. Leverage that. Leverage that. Understand that based on who you've interacted with. If you don't understand it, talk to some of the people who've supported you currently. Record that conversation, and AI will help you transcribe that and give you the insight. So again, using AI where necessary, have those conversations, record conversations, understand what makes you unique. Tell a story, craft a story about that, right? What is that story that someone else that you could tell someone else and they could tell other people? Build the experience and then see the impact. Always be measuring. I know I don't have to tell too many of the startups to scale us about it, but always be measuring the right things. And ultimately, that's what I've seen with a lot of the companies that I've worked with as where success is. A product, you're going to have, I assume that your product is going to be good. It is great. It is going to be wonderful. And I think that there's a need for it. But if you want to make a mark, if you want to make an impact with the people that you want to reach, then it is about those values, those stories, those experiences, and the impact. And you have to kind of focus on those three things to accelerate your brand.
Absolutely. I love this, especially, you know, the values. These are something very important. Kofi, last thing, where people can find more about you and get in touch with you if they want to work with you?
Yes, remember that. Yeah, thanks for the chat. I've really enjoyed you having me. It's been a wonderful conversation. I'm glad I was able to share some of this, and hopefully your listeners are able to have enjoyed this chat as well. And you know, so I put together some resources that listeners could use, free resources, access to me and my team for a free consult if you want, and they could go to thebrandsensei.co/CTO. So that's thebrandsensei.co/CTO. And that's a resource page that I'll give to your listeners, and they could go there and they'll have access to me. They'll have access to my team. And they also have some free resources there, like a AI readiness tool. So helps you. We have a tool that helps you understand the role AI can play in your brand marketing without you getting overwhelmed. And like you said, putting garbage out into the world. So, you know, I'm thinking strategically. So it's going to be at thebrandsensei.co/CTO.
Absolutely. I will make sure that the link is in the show notes so people can reach it easily, I would say. And again, thank you for you, Kofi, actually, because, you know, you shed the light on many things, which I believe, and this is part of what I'm trying to do, although the show name is CTO Show, and I'm insisting not to change the name, because I believe technology and technologists, I would say, technology leaders, startup founders, they need to learn about, you know, marketing, branding, sales. And this is why sometimes, and I blend, you know, my podcast episodes with, you know, people experience like yourself, Kofi, to come and tell us about this and why this is important. Because hopefully, and this is my hope, someone And I'm sure there will be someone benefiting out of, you know, what we discussed today, so they can actually have a successful business. Because at the end of the day, you need to do multiple things to have a successful business. So thank you again, Kofi, for sharing this these insights with us today. And I really enjoyed it. So, and this is how usually I end my episodes. This is for the audience. If you just by luck, were searching something and then you found this podcast, thank you for giving us a listen. I hope you enjoyed. If you did, please subscribe and share it with your friends and colleagues. We are available on all the podcasting platforms. We are available also on YouTube. And if you are one of the loyal followers who keep coming and keep listening to us, thank you very much. Keep sending your feedbacks. Keep sending me your emails and your messages on social media. I love to read them, all of them. And also, if you are interested to be on the show, you have a story you want to tell us, if you are doing something special, you think there is a topic related to what I'm doing, but I didn't cover it yet, please don't hesitate to reach out. I would love to have a discussion and see if there's a possibility to record the episode together. And that's it for all for today. Thank you for tuning in. We'll meet again very soon. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hit that subscribe button. Share the show with your tech-savvy friends and fellow entrepreneurs. And leave us a review on your favorite podcast app. Your support means the world to us.